Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello. Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
This podcast is powered by Podcast Network Asia. For more information on the shows and the network, visit podcastnetwork.asia and Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast. Sign up for free at podmetrics.co and use my referral code RJ Ledesma.
I tell people, look, you're already loving God, you're already attending church, you already have a beautiful relationship with God. That doesn't mean you're going to live in poverty. No, you can actually receive the financial blessings of God, be a good steward, and you'll be able to help a lot of people. You'll be able to serve, you'll be able to be more generous to your church and so on. So that was the battle cry. And yes, it combined with my own gifting of communication as a teacher. And so that was a phenomenal ride. We've been serving now thousands upon thousands of people, helping them grow as members of the Truly Rich Club.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the RJ Ledesma Podcast. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Very happy to see all of you virtually right now. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves there at home. Now, remember, in the RJ Ledesma Podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs and learn more about how they think about business, what are their success secrets, how do they innovate their businesses during this pandemic, and what opportunities do they see emerging in the new normal and even in the next normal. Now, is there a business personality whom you want me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. Drop me a message. Also, right now, we are live on Kumu, CBRC TV, and Global Pinas TV. So to all those watching from all over the country and all over the world, thank you so much for watching us here right now. Now, let me tell you a story. That is one of the favorite lines of this preacher entrepreneur whom I am a very, very big fan of. I'm very excited to resume the podcast, my very first podcast this year, with someone who admittedly has been a great blessing for me in life, in faith, and in business. That's Brother Bo Sanchez will be coming in a few minutes, but allow me to give a brief introduction about Brother Bo. Now, for the past several years, I've actually been part of one of the ministries of Brother Bo, which is called Power Mornings. For me, that is a faith community of businessmen and entrepreneurs under the umbrella of his Feast Religious Community. It's when we get together on a regular basis with my fellow businessmen and entrepreneurs, and we talk about, you know, how faith really is part of everything we do in business, in our personal and professional lives. And it's been really a lifesaver for me, especially through so many life-changing moments in business and also in my personal life as I've been raising my kids. And for many of you out there who already watch his daily full tag on Facebook, his inspirational videos, followed by a short gospel commentary on Facebook, I'm sure you cannot get through your full day without listening to his talk. Now, Brother Bo is an author, a publisher, an inspirational speaker, a TV and radio host, a husband, a father, whew, and he has pretty much done it all. But did you know that Brother Bo is also a successful entrepreneur? Not only is he an entrepreneur, but he's also a big believer of uplifting other entrepreneurs as well for the betterment of his country's economy and economic problems. He engages with small businesses and real estate, as well as teaching about financial literacy. He also talks about his step-by-step guide on financial abundance and spiritual security through his group called the Truly Rich Club. With that, please allow me to introduce here on the show. I'm very excited to have him over here, Brother Bo Sanchez. Brother Bo, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's so good. What a joy to be with you, RJ. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Brother Bo, this is so surreal because every morning I see your exact same background over here as I watch Full Tank. And now I'm side by side with you and seeing exactly in the same area. So thanks so much for joining us over here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Really, what an honor to be, you know, when you invited me and said, game. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, Brother Bo, just, you know, a little confession. I know I've heard of, you know, Brother Bo for the longest time, especially when people used to call you the preacher in blue jeans. I guess that was what you used to be called before. And I sort of only knew you in passing. And I knew that you were a preacher. I was active in my own church. So I said, you know, I'm okay with what I'm doing right now, right, in my ministry. But I was invited to the Power Mornings by Dean Pax Lapid to be part of the Power Mornings in Makati. For those people listening here right now, we're also very interested. I talked about it earlier on about Power Mornings and how it's a community for businessmen and entrepreneurs under the feast. Can you expound a bit more for those who might be interested to also be part of this Power Mornings?
Absolutely. There are people who are focused on business, focused on their own, maybe they have very big responsibilities in their jobs. And so midweek, you know, people would want to just reconnect to their spirit, reconnect to their soul, reconnect to the source of all things. And so that's what we do. For breakfast, they would gather, they would pray. Of course, now because of, you know, quarantine, so we will do this online. And so a lot of these entrepreneurs and people with big responsibilities in their companies, they love it. They just love that short time to be with the Lord, listen to His word, pray together, pray with one another, share in small groups. So that's what we do. And if anybody's interested, feel free to come and join us at Power Mornings.
And what's great, I'm under Brother Randy's group for Power Mornings, and we've got a very strong group even during this pandemic. My light group still continues to meet online. We've got a great vibrant group growing. And what I like about it is that I got to meet the other people who I also look up to in the feast. Aside from yourself, Brother Randy is such a fantastic preacher. Brother Arun Gogna. And Risa, I love how Risa, you know, and all her Bible commentary. I really enjoyed her talks in the Bible. And you know, every day I also get to watch her in JESCOM.
That's right.
And Brother Bob McConaughey, really great speaker as well.
So we love Father Bob. We love Father Bob. Such a blessing to us.
Wonderful. I mean, the it's so nice that every, you know, it's like you said, it's like your recharge, just like your power boost every other Wednesday. And now you can get it virtually as well. And I just wanted to share with you, Brother Bo, one of the things that you know, why for me, I found it very helpful to do Power Mornings. It came at such a right time in my life because my own organization, my own company was undergoing a lot of changes, you know, in business, you know, things aren't always rosy, right? And things don't go wrong. And I remember during a Power Morning, I was sharing my situation of what happened and I felt really lost. And the funny thing, and the nice thing about it is because there are also people who are seniors. You know, these are people who have gone through business already, right? And when they heard my story, not that they were laughing, but they go, oh, I've gone through the same thing. I mean, don't worry. We're here to guide you. So part of for me, I felt comfort knowing that you know, these are people I could speak to about that.
That's right. That's right. Very, you know, one of the blessings of Power Mornings, RJ, is that you've got the same kind of people who have almost like they went through the same challenges, they went through the same experiences, and so there you could relate with one another. You know, most of them are entrepreneurs. Most of them hold managerial positions in huge companies. So you've got this, I know what you're going through. And you know, been there, done that. You can do it. So even just that small encouragement that you get from people will be amazing.
It was truly amazing for me because when I look back at the situation now, but 3 or 4 years later, I go, wow, I can't believe, you know, but that seemed to be my biggest problem that I had. But it was just a prologue, Brother Bro. This is the prologue to how how the business really improved after that one. When I looked at this. But the other thing that I really remember, and I'm not sure if you do, is that, you know, we had one of our prayer meetings over there. Then I called you aside, asked for a special prayer for my son who was young at the time, and he was.
I remember.
He had at the time he had a speech delay. Do you remember that one? And I came up
to
you.
I do.
And I prayed to you. I prayed with you. I prayed with you.
Yes. Yeah. We. I remember you were very, very concerned, and so we prayed together for that. And we just believed, and we said, you know, Lord, you know, please take care of this. You love this boy more than we would, more than RJ and his mom would, you know. So take care of him and be with him.
And that's one of the best insights I got. Was that, you know, you realize that the Lord actually loves your son more than you can love your own son, and he wants what's best for your son. And you know
that's
what?
Right.
4 years later, I can't get him to stop talking. I mean, be careful what you ask for, right? Because God said, okay, he's not talking. Let me give you this. And the daily prayer, things really changed for us. And so I just wanted to, you know, publicly thank you that there's Power Mornings that's been helping businessmen as part of your ministry, which is it called the feast right now, Brother Bo? Because you've got the feast and you've got Light of Jesus. Can you just help explain the difference between both?
Sure. Sure. The name of the whole community is called Light of Jesus. The name of the gatherings would be feast. So feast would be more of like a generic title for all the different kinds of meetings that we have. So one of those feasts, and we don't call it feast, we call it Power Morning. So it's almost like a version of the feast specifically for business people, entrepreneurs, people who have more influence in society that, hey, I want inspiration. I want guidance. I want wisdom. I want to reconnect with the Lord. So we decided, okay, we're going to have a special group for you so that you can relate with one another and you can talk shop and you've got your own jargon. Well, we understand that. So we're going to give you a small special group and there. You'll be able to gain that wisdom and gain that inspiration from one another as you pray together.
And again, thanks so much for this group. I'm looking forward to how this group is also innovating and, like we say in business, how it's innovating and pivoting also in this new normal of how we're meeting online and how we're continuing to support each other in doing business.
That's right. That's right. And thank you. Thank you, RJ, for being there, for being faithful, for your support. It is such a gift. And I know the people in Power Mornings Makati, because we've got Power Mornings in Alabang, Power Mornings Ortigas, and in other places. But thank you for being that pillar of strength there in your group. Thank you so much.
God is good all the time. God is good at all times. So, you know, it's great to be part of a community. Having said that, Brother Bo, you know, people, you know, they have two, I don't know if the word is correct to say conflicting, but they've got two rather, you know, polarizing maybe ideas of you. Brother Bo is a great preacher, right? I mean, they love Full Tank, diba? But Brother Bo is teaching about how you become successful in the stock market with Truly Rich Club, right? And you can subscribe to his you can be a follower of Brother Boy and pay for it. And you know what? For some people who might not understand things, they're saying, why is this preacher involved in trying to make money? Shouldn't the pursuit of spiritual, I guess, prosperity be different from financial prosperity? I've even heard people tell me, why are you following Brother Bo? He's teaching about the prosperity gospel. And that's not what God wants. Because for me, I've been there and I've heard the talks and I understand where it's coming from. And I know the people you are affiliated with. I think I do have an appreciation, but for those who might not quite understand, can you help us reconcile, you know, how can you be preaching and how can you be talking about making money at the same time?
That's right. And it's so easy. I don't blame people. You know, when I receive quote unquote flack from people, criticism and accusations, I can't blame people because I've been there. You know, when I started my spiritual renewal at the age of 12 years old and then reading the life story of Saint Francis of Assisi at the age of 13, and it changed my life. So much so that I said, I'm going to be like St. Francis. So as early as 13, 14, 15 years old, I was already serving the poorest of the poor. I basically rejected any kind of vanity, wealth. I was actually, you know, in the ministry with the poor, I was living in the slum area, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus. And so my whole goal then as a teenager missionary was, this is it. This is going to be my life. I'm going to be serving God forever as a poor person. I'm going to love the poor and I'm going to be poor. that was my commitment. And I said, I saw myself as a celibate person forever. my retirement plan was to sleep in the sidewalk as an old man, as a beggar, you know, like St. Francis, you know. I don't know if you watched the movie Brother Sun, Sister Moon. That moved me so much as a young kid. And I said, you know, I'm going to be like that for the rest of my life. But then what happened, RJ, was when I would preach, you know, a teenager preaching everywhere, then people would ask for prayers. So I was a teenager. I was in my 20s. And I would have this huge burden in my heart for people, because half of the people who would ask for prayers, you know, like a long line of people asking for prayers, half of them would be about financial problems. You know, no money to bring out their mom who was in the hospital. No money for the tuition fee of their kids, how to pay their debts. And all I could do was pray for people. That's all. I could not give any advice. I could nothing, because I knew nothing about money. So it was such a burden. It was like my heart would be ripped apart. And I would come before God and I'd say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? I mean, you know, sure, I could tell them to be poor, you know, the way I'm poor, but they've got kids and they've got responsibilities, you know. You've got to help me here. And then, nag-timing pa, I was already in my 20s and I was really praying what God wanted for my life. And, you know, after discernment of many, many years, I really felt that, you know, marriage was a possibility now. I really felt, you know, maybe God wants me to get married and be a good husband, be a good father for my kids. But that meant I will not be a St. Francis beggar on the streets, poor, because I need to feed my kids. Here was the other, you know, such a long answer for your question, RJ. but the other thing I want to share to people was I had fellow missionaries with me. We were working together, serving the poor, preaching all over. But they got married. They had now tiny kids, and I saw their life. They were so miserable. They were happy in the sense of loving God and praying and serving God, but they were going through financial problems. They could not send their kids to school. They were praying to God. And I said, parang, there's something I'm missing here. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to suffer like them, you know? But that was going to happen if I didn't make a shift. So I decided to make a shift. I said, Lord God, you've got to change something. You've got to teach me something. There's got to be. And then so little by little, I began to realize that money was not evil. I thought money was evil. I really did. And I really thought business was bad. I thought if you want to grow close to God, be poor. And but then it slowly began to shift that money was not evil. Money actually can be evil, but it can be very good depending on who holds it, depending on how you use it. And so there, little by little by little, I began to get the whole idea of Christian stewardship, that you need to be responsible for the blessings of God, that the purpose of wealth is actually to love other people. The purpose of money is to help others. And so, okay, so I can actually hold money and serve God. So money is a horrible master, but it can be a very good servant, and you could use that money for the purposes of God. So that will be my first answer, RJ, that I had to go through a transformation. So when I receive flack and criticism from people, I would say, I smile, because that was me. That was where I came from, so I don't blame them. And I smile and I say, I'm trying to love God right now, using money to serve him and to serve God's people. And it takes a little bit of shift to be able to understand this. So it's okay.
and the thing that really, and I hadn't met you yet at that time, but, you know, when me and my wife were also trying to discern, you know, we were doing business and it, you know, we felt that it had to be of service, was that, you know, we came across what you talked about, reverse tithing that you actually do. Because, you know, this goes into the idea of, you know, Christian stewardship that you were talking about when it comes to doing business. Can you share with us a bit more how that came about? Because, like, for me, I mean, to be honest, Brother Bo, you've got two kids, you've got a wife. You want to make sure that, you know, you live comfortably. Maybe you want to, you know, travel regularly with the family, because at many of us Pinoys, diba, you know, travel with the family is like that's your biggest goal, that send them to a good school. But at the same time, you know, you do tithing. How did you integrate tithing into all that when and say that, you know, it's something that you should do not joyfully. Di masakit mag-tithing. You do it joyfully. Then all of a sudden, not just tithing, but it's reverse tithing. Di ba?
Yeah. I read about reverse tithing from other authors, from other leaders, Christian leaders. So, for example, Rick Warren, he's a very, very popular best-selling author and pastor. And he wrote about reverse tithing where he said, you know, now he's giving, he started with 10%, like all of us, you know, giving 10% to God. But then he said every year he wanted to give more. So the next year he gave 11%. And the next year he gave 12%. And so now he said, he is now giving 92-93%, if I'm not mistaken, giving 92-93% of his income, because he said when it started when he launched his book, you know, The Purpose Driven Life, and it became a million, you know, I don't know how many copies. And so the royalties was huge. And so what he said, he decided, hey, I don't need all this money. So he decided to start giving 92-93% of his income. So he's living on the 8%, on the 7%. And that's what I want to do, RJ. And so all these years, you know, I started with 10% and then became 11 and became 12 and so on. I'm not yet in the 90%, but that's my goal. I'm giving much, much, much more than the tithe, than the 10%. And I am inching my way to getting bigger every year. And what a joy to be able to do that, RJ. A little sharing. When I was so there, I was a preacher, I was a missionary, I was single. And then this mother and daughter comes to me and says, Brother Bo, can you pray for me? Wala kaming pera pang tuition fee ng anak ko. So I go and pray over them. This was a time when I was dirt poor and happy, serving God as a single person, you know, a single missionary. And then before I prayed for them, I actually asked, how much do you need? You know, curious, you know. And she was so embarrassed to tell me she just needed 700 pesos. And by the way, this was 20 plus years ago. So, but still, 700 was small. And I said, why only 700? She said, a monthly installment lang ang kaya ko. You know, when she said 700 pesos, my heart just wanted to pull out my wallet and say, eto ang 700 pesos, you know. Pray over pa tayo. This is what you need, you know? I wanted to do that. I could not do that because in my wallet, I only had 20 pesos. And I was proud that I had 20 pesos. But there, I could not give. So it was so painful, really painful. I prayed for her. That was all. And so I told myself, I had this fantasy. I said, one day, I would love to pull out my wallet. You know, let's say the music ministry in the prayer meeting needed to buy a new guitar. Mm-hmm. My fantasy was to pull out my wallet and say, God has blessed me. Here's the money. So today that's happening. Today, you know, I have the privilege of sending scholars, you know, to school, poor kids. I have that privilege now. And what a joy. It's really, really one of the great joys of life to be on the giving end now. Amazing.
Hey, you. Sorry to interrupt your podcast listening pleasure. Wonderful choice of podcast, by the way. My name is Sam O, and I have a podcast too. It's called The Narrow Door. It's an ecumenical podcast, which means we talk about everything Christian. I mean, I got a panel on everything, so go give it a listen after this one, okay? All right, thanks. See you there.
Do you sometimes, I hope you don't mind me asking this one, but do you feel a tinge of guilt like you're making money? I mean, does it come across you? Because, syempre, you came from that framework that money was bad and we're just human. Sometimes you go, okay, you know, then, or my other fellow preachers aren't making as much as I am in what I'm doing because I'm preaching and I'm also earning.
Yeah. You know what? I think reconciled because every day it's a tension between money being your God and God being God, you know? And so every day I've been really resolving this in myself. I really want to say, Lord God, you know, if I am not worshiping you but I am worshiping money. Will you please correct me? And you know, you hit me with a bolt of lightning because I don't want that. I really, really want to worship you, not money. So every day it's that prayer that I have. And let me, I don't know if maybe I can share this now, RJ, in this point. I have seven income streams today, and four of them is dedicated to donating or sharing or giving or tithing. And I have three that I use for feeding my kids that's how I roll, as young people would say. that's how I operate. So what are these seven income streams? I have my book royalties. I've written 60 plus books. And so the royalties are pretty sizable. And about, you know, it's really big. I don't want to say the number now, but I give all of that to the ministry. It's all donated. I don't receive a salary from my community. If I did, then that's also donated. But many, many years ago, I don't receive anymore. The second thing would be, I lead pilgrimages to the Holy Land and to other Marian sites every year. And all of that, again, it's pretty sizable. All of that is donated to the ministry. And I love doing that. It's my joy, you know? So I don't want to go on and on, but so there are some income streams that are just fully donated 100% to the ministry. The third one would be my corporate speaking. I have my small businesses, RJ, and they're enough for me. If they were not enough for me, I would use my corporate talks to also feed my kids. But now my businesses are okay. They're doing well. I live a simple life. So whenever I give a corporate talk, I tell the company who's inviting me, you know what, your my speaker's fee, I'm going to donate it to the ministry as well. So that's where I am, and I love it. This is the life that I have.
Oh, and Brother Bro, having said all that, when I was looking through what you're doing, and it's really brought about several questions for me, no? But and I want to talk about each of your businesses later on, no? But another question, I mean, I think we also need to clarify, especially when we do these things, you know, is that, and I know Bishop Barron talked about it a lot, about, you know, what is the danger of talking about the prosperity gospel? And maybe, yes, if you don't mind, you can briefly explain what might be the trap of thinking of the prosperity gospel, if you can explain that, especially for those of us, you know, who are trying to make money.
Sure, sure. You know, the prosperity gospel came out from the U.S., where there were some preachers who started saying that if you follow Jesus, you know, you should be rich, and you should not only rich, but you should be healthy. So it's the health and wealth gospel. If you follow God, if you believe in Jesus, then you should be rich, then you should be healthy, and there, you know, and that kind of thinking is very tempting. It's like, oh wow, yeah. You know, I'm reading the Bible, I'm going to church, I love Jesus, therefore I should be rich and I should be healthy. But then when you go to the Gospels, you don't have that message. In fact, when you follow Jesus, this Jesus died on the cross. So he carries his cross and he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you carry your cross. And so he talks of, and all the 12 apostles, if you except Judas, all the 11 apostles, they died a martyr's death, except John, the beloved. So, you know, I think there's a discrepancy between the prosperity gospel and the real gospel. However, you also need to balance it and say, so therefore, is the gospel a poverty gospel? You know? Okay, so we're clear. In fact, these preachers, RJ, these prosperity preachers, they drive Rolls Royces. They have three mansions. They have their own jet planes. And so the message is, if you follow Jesus, then you should be living our lifestyle, you know? And I will have to disagree. I really believe following Jesus means selflessness, generosity, dying to yourself so that others will live. It's really loving the poor, I really totally believe in that. And now, is the proper prosperity, if the prosperity gospel is wrong, is therefore the Jesus gospel a poverty gospel, that we should all be poor and we should all be beggars on the streets? And I don't think so. I really don't. Because if you read the gospels in the New Testament, you find different, all sorts of people following Jesus. You have poor people, lots and lots of poor people, because in the time of, in ancient times, 90% would be poor, poor people. But then you've got people like, you know, you've got Nicodemus, you've got Joseph of Arimathea, who are wealthy. And then you've got some women who had means and they were supporting the work of the apostles. It says there in the Gospels that there were some women who had means and who were supporting the disciples of Jesus as Jesus was preaching. So okay. So it's possible that entrepreneurs, business people actually can follow Jesus and make Jesus the center of their life and make their businesses and their money and their wealth for the purposes of God. So it's not a prosperity gospel, nor is it a poverty gospel. The gospel of Jesus is the gospel of Jesus, where we follow Jesus, and then every area of our life should be of service to Him. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thanks, Brother Bo. I mean, that's also a great clarification for me as well. Now, let's go into the business. You talked about you've got your seven income streams, but to get to those seven income streams was a process of trial and error. So I'm thinking, let's take a couple of steps back, di ba? Anybody who starts off in entrepreneurship, siyempre, dumadaan ka sa proseso, di ba? And aside from that one, you know, my philosophy, I know Dean Pax talks about this a lot, that, you know, the best businesses which you can create, and I told this to you on your show, that it's from your irritation, come from your inspiration in doing business. So how exactly did you start off, and then how did it bring you to where you are? And if you don't mind, may addition pa yan, di ba? Was there a certain philosophy that, okay, this business I'm doing has to serve the poor, has to serve God, na hindi pwede na kumikita lang ako at hindi nakaka-serve? I mean, was that mutually exclusive where you say, hindi pwede ganyan, di ba? What was it when you were starting off and got to where you were right now?
So before the age of 30 and onwards, that's when I made the shift. So medyo late na talaga. You know, I was a single missionary focused on ministry work lang, and then I got married at the age of 32. So ganun yung shift na I said, okay, I'll be an entrepreneur. I started learning, etc. And I made the most horrible mistakes anyone can think of. So wala pa ako nun sa yung tanong mo kanina, RJ, that okay, the business should serve the Lord. You know, the business itself should... No, I said, I totally don't know what I'm doing. And I'm going to experiment. So one of the first businesses I had was a food stall. Like everybody else, you know, you're walking in the mall, you see these food stalls, and you say, ako rin, gusto ko rin magkaroon ng ganyang maliit na. So it was a hot dog on a stand, hot dog on a stick, story. And then it was the next one was an ice cream na ilagay sa cone. And then I had a squid ball stand. And so I said, you know, I don't know anything, but this is what, at least what I know. And so I had a little savings. I put it all there. I hired people. And, you know, in a few months, everything collapsed, bankrupt. Some of those food stalls from day one did not earn money. I was not even breaking even. And it was such, I was devastated, RJ, because I was a missionary and I expected, you know, God to bless me. But to my dismay, you know, I lost all my money, and you know, you I felt so bad, and I remember going to the Lord and saying, Lord, akala ko friends tayo. Why did you do this to me? So there, I like everyone.
But I can accept all of us, I guess, feel the same way sometimes, di ba? Like, Lord, I serve you so hard. I you know, I go to mass regularly. I'm part of this community. Bakit yung negosyo ko hindi maganda, di ba?
Yep.
Sorry for interrupting you, but you know that I know that sentiment. I know exactly where you're coming from. Eh.
And you know, I've been served so well. Bilangin mo, 13 years old, I was already preaching. So let's say I started that business when I was already 32 or 33 years old. So that's 20 years of total 110% of giving my whole life to God. You know, living in the slum area, serving in prisons, yung talagang all out. And then my own businesses collapse. So parang, okay. So there. I like telling that story because many people who try entrepreneurship, they will fail. And failure is good. It's important. You need to fail to learn.
So what did you learn, Brother Bo? So, I mean, you put it up and you failed. Your three businesses failed. Yeah. And I mean, just like an entrepreneur, I mean, right now you've got that entrepreneurial mindset I can see right now. But in retrospect, when you look back, what did that tell you from a, you know, as you can see right now with a perspective, what did you learn from that failure over there?
Yeah, a number of lessons. Aside from that, we started also my friends and I. We decided, let's set up concerts naman. Tayong organizer, you know, maybe we can earn a little for each concert. Ayun rin, after three concerts, we lost money again. You know, and sabi ko, paano ba to? Akala ko, pagkain lang, I'll fail in food, no? Baka naman concerts, kasi, you know, concerts naman yan, eh, Christian concerts pa. So maybe, you know, sanay tayo dyan sa gatherings, organizing events, wala rin. Lugi rin. So I was saying, oh my gosh. So these are the lessons I learned. Number one, focus on your core gift. Because I did not know anything about food. What do I know about food? And then concerts is a totally different thing. Because yes, we knew events. Yes, we knew how to organize and put up a sound system and organize a stage and, you know, reserve a venue. But selling tickets, we don't know anything about that. And dealing with artists, we don't know anything about. So a lot of things we were going in blind. And so number one, core gift. What was my core gift? Upon discernment and reflection, it is communication. This is my core gift, you know, to speak and to write clearly. And so because of that, I said, does that have anything to do with a squid ball stand? Does that have anything to do with an ice cream scooper? Wala eh. And then organizing a concert? Wala rin eh. You know, so I said, okay, I need to reflect. So my first business that ever took off was corporate speaking. And I had to adjust because I spoke to prayer groups only. So to be able to speak to a company with wearing neckties and a coat, you know, it was intimidating. And I had to remove all the religious jargon. But there, I hit the road running. It was my first business that took off because I was, you know, I was good at it. Mm-hmm. I was doing it for 20 years. Libre lang nga. Pero now, I charged and people were paying. So there, that was my first. So there, that was the first lesson, RJ. Focus on your gift. Don't, you know, I mean, later on, you might want to explore. Pero I think your first or second business should really be on the main gifts that you have. The second thing, and I just want to limit to two lessons, is you've got to really hands-on. You know, because it was not my core gift, I was not very interested in my food businesses and in the concerts. And so I left it to other people to run. Hired people or a friend or a relative. But businesses don't work that way, especially if it's the first one, the second one that you're trying to build. You know, it's got to be hands-on. You've got to be passionate about it. You've got to look at the details. So I wasn't looking at those things. So, and that's why they failed.
And then from there, now, Brother Bo, okay, we went from there and you said, okay, I'll start speaking. After that one, because, you know, I often find that people, if they have several businesses, like myself, I call myself a serial entrepreneur, but I have a specific philosophy when it comes to entrepreneurship. I mean, when people step back, they start seeing, I know why RJ got into these businesses. It makes sense now, given his core strengths or what he's passionate about. So it makes sense. So when you started doing these other businesses, how did you know which ones you went into and how did it build on your, let's say, your core strengths?
Yeah. So, for example, I have the seven income streams that I have. One of them is the Truly Rich Club. it was born out of the pain of seeing people who love God, people who were attending church, people who were serving in ministry, people who were very kind and very good people who were suffering from financial problems. They were buried in debt, nasa scam. They have no investments. They have no savings. They grow old and they grow poor. You know, RJ, one of my pains is that these are good people. Many of them are my friends. They listen to me when I preach. But then they come up to me for prayer because when they're, for example, they retire. The company gives them $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. Okay, great. It lasts for 5 years, 7 years, and then they're poor. And my heart breaks for them. Ang babait na tao, madasalin, masimba. And yet there they are, they're poor, they're 65, 68 years old. Every time they need medicine, they call up their children. Every time they need, you know, it's so painful to watch. It was really born out of pain. And I said, this is it. This is going to be one of my businesses. I'm gonna serve them. I'm gonna teach them financial literacy. I'm going to teach them how to invest. I'm going to make them millionaires. You know, these are good people. And that's why the motto of Truly Rich Club is helping good people become rich. it's really that was my focus.
And so that was one thing that's nice, no? And that one, if you go back to what you were saying, yung first business mo hindi pa mo na integrate pa yung okay, yung spiritual pati negosyo. The first one was just get the business done. But I mean, you started moving to a point where you could actually integrate what you were good at,
communicating
with what you know, with also something that spiritually you are happy about. Is that right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I tell people, look. You're already loving God. You're already attending church. You already have a beautiful relationship with God. That doesn't mean you're going to live in poverty. No, you can actually receive the financial blessings of God, be a good steward, and you'll be able to help a lot of people. You'll be able to serve. You'll be able to be more generous to your church and so on. So that was the battle cry. And yes, it combined with my own gifting of communication as a teacher. And so that was a phenomenal ride. We've been serving now thousands upon thousands of people, helping them grow as members of the Truly Rich Club and teaching very, very important things that, you know, we think people know. People don't know how to save. People don't know how to get out of debt. People don't know how to invest. They just put if they're saving, they're just putting their money in the bank or worse, under their beds. They don't know how to make their money grow.
And losing the value of the money, yeah. That's right. Losing the value of the money. Uh-oh.
Absolutely. Inflation just eats them up. And so there, that was the goal. Just to answer your, not maybe answer your question, but just to go one step further.
Yes,
I experimented at the very start of the Truly Rich Club. I said, I have to find, you know, almost like a model, like I will help someone who does not know anything about money, and I will make this person on the way towards becoming truly rich. So I saw my helpers, my own helpers, and I said, "Sige, tutulungan ko sila." It was so frustrating also for me to give them a higher salary than what other people were giving at that time. So 12 years ago, I was giving them about 7,000 pesos a month. Not like, you know, what maybe the wealthiest people give, pero I'm sure it was higher than most. But it was frustrating that they were saving because I taught them to save, but then it would be gone every, you know, they'll save 1,000 pesos this month, next month, 2,000, next month, 3,000. So may 3,000 na sila, savings. And then they'll receive a text message from their family in the province.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Ate, may sakit si Lola. Mamamatay na siya. Padala ka naman ng 3,000. Oh. And so the bulk of their salary is already given every month. Tapos may special emergencies pa. So really, the savings is gone. And it was so frustrating. I said to them, I called them and after, because we have family prayer meetings in the house. So after one prayer meeting, I said, look, I'm going to teach you how to invest in the stock market. of course, they were said, Kuya, we don't know that. He said, no, I'll really help you. So I taught them. It took a while, but every month, you know, they would put their money. So they started with 2,000 a month, 3,000, 4,000 a month, 5,000 a month, because yung isa na-graduate eh, sa isang college course. So I was able to promote her to become a bookkeeper. So now she's giving 6,000 or 7,000 pesos a month already investing in the stock market. Two of my helpers are now millionaires, RJ. I just love sharing that I am the boss of two helpers who are already millionaires. My driver has 500,000 already. We've got 200 employees in our ministries and another 200 employees in my personal businesses. And the 200 employees in my ministries, all of them are investing in the stock market. All of them are on their way. You know, some of them are millionaires, some of them are on their way. And it's so beautiful to see. These are good people. They love God. RJ, we've got a ministry for the abandoned elderly. It's called mm-hmm. Anawim. Ministry for the poorest of the poor. We pick up old people from the streets, abandoned. So you've got caregivers, you've got janitors there. All of them are investing in the stock market. So you're serving God, you're a caregiver, you know, but you know how to invest. You know how to manage your money. So that's what we do. And that's the joy of my life.
So where are the two maids now? Do they still work for you or have they hired you?
Yeah, they still work for us. They you know, it's I guess when you do something for them that changes their life, they're so grateful, they don't want to go. And I'm spoiled, RJ. The people who work for me, they love me. They actually serve. They do their jobs not because they get paid. They just literally love me. And I'm really spoiled and I'm blessed.
Importante ang mag-save, pero bakit marami ang walang ipon? The answer is because we don't spend enough time in learning practical financial strategies. This is Fitz Villafuerte, a registered financial planner, and I'm inviting you to listen to the 80% podcast, kung saan tuturuan ko kayo kung paano yumaman. So join me and let's talk about personal finance on the 80% podcast.
Well, I hope to emulate the example also here in the house. I'd love to have millionaire yayas over here as well for me, because you know they take good care of my kids and I want to be able to give something back to them as well. You know, they give in so much and you know they're away from their families, especially now during this pandemic. And you know they've served more now that they're with us here. Parang bubble dito sa bahay namin, di ba? It's like your pandemic bubble, and I hope to emulate your example, Brother Bo. Just midway through, no. Some people here want to join, might be interested to join the Truly Rich Club. And I know that for those listening here right now, you got a special promo code. Can we flash it, Nate and Valley? Can we flash the special promo code? If they do the promo, Brother Bo, what can they get from that?
Yes, you can just use that link and you become a member of the club. And what happens is we start teaching you. We start guiding you on the first steps that you need to take in order to become on your way towards financial freedom. The whole goal is this. This is going to take years. This is not a quick fix, quick rich scheme thing. No, you've got to have patience, man. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to let you go through step one, step two, step three. We're going to let you learn, you know, four things will happen. Number one, we'll teach you how to invest. And our goal is that you retire a millionaire. You know, RJ, two kinds of futures are in front of people right now. The first one is what I shared a while ago. You imagine somebody who's retired, somebody who doesn't have a job, wala nang income. And this is the story of millions of Filipinos. They need to call their children if they need food on the table, medicine. It's so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult. Their retirement plan are their children. You don't want that. You don't want to end up in Anawim, our ministry for the abandoned elderly. You don't want that. But we see them. We see these people who had, you know, my heart bleeds when I look at the lolos and lolas we care for in Anawim. We've got 70 lolos and lolas there. They were on the streets. They were abandoned by their families. Or sometimes they didn't have children. Or sometimes they just ran away from their own families because they could not stomach the fact that their children were rude to them because pabigat sila. You know, that feeling. And I'm saying really it's painful just listening to their stories. They're good there in Anawim. We care for them. We feed them. They have a beautiful home and we pray with them. But this doesn't have to be the future of people. There's another future. It's called being truly rich. like when you retire, you're a millionaire because you've invested over time. You don't become a millionaire next year, 2 years, 5 years from now. No, but over time, you suddenly wake up because every month you were investing. And we teach people how to do that, where to invest, what to invest. You know, if you become a gold member of the Truly Rich Club, what happens is we actually tell you what stocks to buy every month. And we say, okay, this is the stock that you buy a month. This is what you sell. You know, and it's long term, huh? It's not trading, RJ. We do not teach trading. Trading is buy now and then sell tomorrow, sell next week. We don't do that.
Okay.
They're very, very different, very slow, very methodical, very patient. We love it when the stock market goes down, not when the stock market goes up. We love it when it goes down because the stocks are on sale. It's like a midnight sale on a mall, you know. So hand holding. We tell people what to do. So would love that they become a member of the Truly Rich Club.
So 2020 was actually a great year for the Truly Rich Club Gold.
That's so true.
During the midnight sale that they were having over there, for those who are curious, no, Brother Bo, like you said, you know, you teach them about teaching people about, you know, how to buy stocks, but I know that, you know, on your journey towards this one, all your different businesses, that, you know, you found the importance of having mentors. And some of these mentors are actually part of the Truly Rich Club as well. Tell us a bit more. I mean, how were you there to look for? Because many people out there, they're especially entrepreneurs, they need to find entrepreneurial mentors. For example, I was very lucky because I worked a lot with Go Negocio, and I found a lot of my mentors over there. Then eventually, my wife, who pursued a master's of entrepreneurship in Ateneo, her teachers became our board of advisors for the company. So fantastic learning. They helped me pivot during this crisis. How do you find good mentors for business? And how did you get your mentors and who are your mentors in Truly Rich Club?
You know, I when I was starting, I had no mentors. That's why they failed. My businesses failed. Big lesson. Lesson number three. You need to look for your mentors. So I started praying. I really started praying. And I said, Lord God, you know, this is wrong. I mean, I need people to guide me. Please, Lord. So by God's grace, you know, at a certain point, I remember one of my most important, if not the most important business mentor came into my life. He called me, would you believe? He read one of my books and then he said, can we have lunch? And I didn't even know who he was at that time. But then when we had lunch, he introduced himself. He said, my name is Edward Lee, and I've been in the stock market for 30 years plus. And at that time, now 40 plus. And he said, I like you, and I read your book, and let's work together. I'm going to teach you how to invest in the stock market. And I said, that's wonderful. So I began to learn from him, not only the stock market, he's a amazing business guy. And so he started teaching me how to run my businesses, how to build businesses. And then little by little, my other mentors came. And so we started forming a mastermind group. So you've got Dean Pax Lapid, you know him. He's the guy is just overflowing, bubbling with wisdom, and then very generous with his wisdom. You've got Rex Mendoza. You've got all these fantastic guys that just started. You know, Rex is probably one of the best financial speakers I've heard, you know, in the country. And again, a fantastic investor, fantastic entrepreneur, amazing CEO. So you've got all these guys just pouring their wisdom into the Truly Rich Club. You know, I always tell people, without these mentors, there's no Truly Rich Club. I mean, who am I? I'm a missionary. So I'm more like the spiritual guide of the Truly Rich Club, just to steer the group to towards the vision and towards being faithful to God. But it's these mentors who are guiding the members. And so we're very blessed. We're really, really blessed.
And it's interesting, brother, but throughout the course of this conversation, when we started off with your hot dog stand and your ice cream, diba, yung prayer mo is, God, why are you doing this to me when I've served you so well? And God kind of said, okay, Bo, wait a couple of years, okay? Just wait a couple of years. It's coming. And I guess, you know, in God's good time. I mean, that's how I would think of it, brother. But what
exactly.
do you think?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, they had to fail. I realize now, if those small businesses, my hot dog, squid ball, etc., did not fail, you know, now I'll probably still be running them. And maybe they grew by into four, hindi lang tatlo, siguro apat na ngayon, lima, anim. But you know, they had to fail. So that I needed to start other kinds of businesses that are now 100 times bigger. So I thank God that He allowed that failure for me to learn.
And as I look back also at what you're talking about with the Truly Rich Club, no, you're getting people to join. And of course, it's not necessarily a religious club. I mean, it's not a religious affiliation. It's Truly Rich Club. But then, I guess part of the ministry, which is in you, is to make sure that hopefully that as people make more money, that like you said earlier on, money is it's a good servant but not a good master. How are you also able to imbibe that to other people who you know you're helping all of them, but you can't vet all of them to say I need them to share the same values as me to be the same person I am, diba? How do you do that one? I mean, because you are somebody, you know. I would find it, you know, personally, if you were, you know, a preacher teaching about, you know, financial success, you'd also want, you know, in your mind and in your heart, you're hoping also that they also pick something up from you.
Yes. So part of the Truly Rich Club is we provide inspiration. And so not only investment wisdom, not only entrepreneurship wisdom, but also spiritual wisdom. But it's offered. And, you know, you take it, you don't take it, it's okay. Yeah, but it's there. So in the Truly Rich Club, we send my material, my videos, my talks on a very regular basis. Actually, you know, we provide a daily email. It's called God Whispers. And mm-hmm. it has changed the lives of a lot of people. It's just only two or three lines every day. But people love it. In fact, we have members in the Truly Rich Club who tell me, Brother Bo, the best feature of the Truly Rich Club is the God Whispers. And I laugh and I say, I'm happy that it's blessing you. So there, it's sent to them, but it's up to them if they want to receive it or not, you know. But it's there. You're right. My goal is that all the members really use their financial blessings now, because they're going to grow in their financial life, into the right purpose, and therefore become really not just rich, but truly rich.
Baka yung mga whispers niya, God says, buy Ayala. Okay. God says, sell. God says. this is the other amazing thing that I'm looking at. Okay. There are seven businesses. Now, I hope you don't mind saying, I find you to be like a kindred spirit like myself. I find many parallelisms in our lives, because for me, communication is one of my strongest gifts as well. I'm a host, and I parlayed it into, I guess, wedding hosting, business hosting, moderations. I'm also a writer. I used to be a humor writer, and that's what I was doing in the different things that I did. And aside from that, I do business. So I can appreciate it when people tell me, how do you manage your time? And, you know, for me, I go, it doesn't really, you know, hindi ko na mamalayan. It's not something that I see anymore, because for me, it's like, you know, if the opportunity is there, when it presents myself, I'm willing to take a sacrifice in other things. You know, parang for me, you know, when people ask me, what do you do for leisure? I don't have much leisure time, but it's not because I don't want it. It's just that because it's not something that really doesn't really occupy much of my time. Eh. Diba? How do you manage your time? 7 businesses that every day you do full tank in Taglish and English, and you're still doing ministry work and you're still doing your businesses. For people doing business here right now, they might want to ask you, how do you manage all these different things?
Yeah, in fact, so I have 7 income streams, but I devote only about 30 to 40% of my time there because 50 to 60% is still devoted to ministry. And so when people ask me, how do you do all that you do? My answer is, I don't. I have a wonderful, wonderful team that does much of the work. And so it's really the ability to work with people that you're able to trust people. Not only, they say that some people don't delegate, they dump. And so please don't dump. But real, honest to goodness, delegation means giving people, selecting the right person, and then giving them a division, finding the right person with the right values, and then training people, and then also trusting them enough that allowing them to fail. This is very important, allowing them to fail. When you allow them to fail, and then you still work with them, you'll be able to have that good team. And so that's my first answer. Just, you need to have those teams so you can do what only you can do. And then whatever other people can do better, you should be able to delegate to them.
I like the brother Bo. The idea that, sometimes, I came from a company where the culture was, and it was a Western company, a very good company, but the culture was that it's called up or out. Right? If you fail, you're out of the company. So parang, you get very scared to move. But nowadays, when you move to entrepreneurship, it's almost exactly the opposite philosophy.
Absolutely.
They have to celebrate the failure, fail fast, fail forward, move ahead. And I've been wondering, like for yourself, diba, you have to practice that sort of compassion in the company. Not everybody's got the skill set to run things as well as you want to. I like that you said you have to accept failure sometimes in the people fail. And if you keep them sometimes, they're so loyal to you because, they know that despite their failure, you're still accepting them again and growing them. But when is that balance you take when you say it's okay to fail? And okay, I guess, it's time for us to part ways.
Oh, yeah. You also need to realize that you owe it to that particular person to grow. So if someone is not growing in your company or in your team, and you know that that person will be able to grow in another company, you owe it to that person to actually have a good talk with that person and say, are you in this right place? Because I want you to flourish. I want you to grow. And maybe the way I observe you, you're not growing in this team. And because of this reason or because of that reason. And so you need to have those conversations because it's true. Some people may actually flourish outside for one reason or another.
That's right. I get that. For me, I feel like I grew after I left the company because where my skill set was actually used to a much better, to where it played more to my strengths when I became an entrepreneur. But it was a good learning for me to go corporate. And when I look at you, diba, brother boy, much of the business that you're doing right now, real estate, not as a developer, but rather, I guess, real estate investor, no? And then stock market and talk and speaking engagements. What just came to mind is that as I see you doing these businesses, they're not necessarily, I see it being an entrepreneur two ways. It's either that you're doing arbitrage, diba? Like, okay, I know something more than you, therefore I make money, which is basically stock market. That's arbitrage, really, diba? Or even for real estate, it's the same sort of thing. Like, I'm invest here because you're going to make money in the future. But do you also have businesses that are not purely, let's say, what I call building passive income? Are you doing any businesses which actively build something?
Yes, my how would I answer this? I don't think of that. I don't think of it in those categories. Like, I want to have a business where later on I'm going to be hands off and then just earn passively from that business. Mm-hmm. I don't think of it in that way. I'm always the business is born out of a need, out of a problem, out of an irritation. and then I just go and attack it and then I find a way to solve it, and then hopefully with a solution. I'll give you an example. One of my businesses is a homeschool organization. And it was born because I wanted to homeschool my kids, my wife and I. And then there were other friends who wanted to homeschool. So we said, okay, we're going to set up a homeschool provider. And we're going to get Department of Education accreditation. And so it was difficult, but we went through it, you know. We start on our first year, we had 27 kids enrolled with us. Today we have 3,000 plus. So through the years, it never occurred in my mind. I mean, my sister is the one who runs this business, but I'm still there. And even to this day, I think I'm even more there. My wife and I were more involved than ever. So I don't know. It's maybe kanya-kanya siguro RJ. I know some people, they want to build a business to that point where they can now let go. I've never had that. It's like, you know, I love what I do and I love helping these parents, homeschool their kids. So, we'll keep on doing it as long as we're strong enough and we're happy.
I'm just curious, Brother Bo, now you talked about 7 businesses and you did say that, you know, 4 of them are really things that you give back to the, you know, give back. And you, that's like the fully goes back to the ministries. But of the 3 businesses or even all 7 businesses, which one, at least in absolute value, percentage-wise, earns the most income for you?
So right now, I would say both the Truly Rich Club and our homeschooling, which is Catholic Filipino Academy, both of them have the biggest income. They also have the biggest expense because the 200 employees or almost 200 employees are employed in those two companies. And so, but yes, we are blessed, you know, financially because of those two companies.
Okay. And having said that, this interesting thing occurred to me. We talk about, you know, you talk about putting up a business because it's always born out of solving a need, right? Out of something coming up. What would be your longer term business philosophy now, Brother Bo, when it comes to doing business? If somebody was going to come up with a business right now, what should they keep on looking at? Because for me, I also look at that, you know, I try to find ways now, okay, when I put up Mercato, when I put up Enter PH, when I put up Easy Franchise, it was always looking for what opportunity is present that there's nobody else quite doing it and I can use my skill set there, no? What are you seeing in your own realm now? What are the emerging opportunities that you should get into? Or at least you're seeing that, you know, this is my philosophy. When I look at the business, I'll go into it.
Yeah, I always like to, you know, when I talk to entrepreneurs, you know, what should I look at? It's always a combination between pain and passion. So what's the pain? But usually what people do is, okay, there's a pain, but they don't have a passion for solving that. Parang mali. I think there might be some people out there who are so good at anything. Basta may problema and may solution sila. They go into the business and then all of a sudden at the end of 20 years, they have 20 plus businesses. Baka may mga taong ganun eh. But I think normally, they have a passion for something. And because they have a love for something, a passion for something, and that passion, they're able to monetize it because they're able to solve a particular pain. So the intersection between passion and pain will be a real great combination for a business. So I don't know if that you call it a business philosophy, but I, you know, that's kind of how I would coach someone who says, I want to set up a business. Ano bang magandang business? RJ, di ba? That's such a very common question that we get, di ba?
That's right.
Ano
yes.
magandang business? And there's really no one answer. You know, I always throw back the question to the person who's asking, and I tell them, "Anong magandang business para sa iyo?" You know, yun ang magandang tanong. And so you'll have to look at what's your passion and what's the pain that can hopefully intersect.
Yeah, and when people ask me that question, I just tell them, "Ikaw, what problem do you want to solve?" that's what I tell them. What problem do you think that you can solve that is sustainable, that's long term? That's how I think of it, no?
Hi, this is Royce Aguilar from the Research Department at First Metro Securities and host of the Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast featuring timely and relevant discussions on the Philippine stock market and economy in the hope of providing investing and trading guidance to Filipinos. New episodes every Tuesday and as always, your future first.
this is really great discussion. And I know it might go on for hours if we don't try to start wrapping it up. But here's another thing that I just want to ask, no? Because, you know, I've really been inspired for you over the past couple of years, reading the books, listening to Full Talk, watching The Feast online, joining Power Mornings. And you continue to keep yourself sharp. And that sharpness is not just business, but it's also in faith. What are you doing up to now on a regular basis so people can also hopefully emulate or learn from your example? What is the schedule like for you? And how do you keep yourself sharp from a faith standpoint and also from a business standpoint? So what's a day like for you first, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I wake up in the morning and I go to my backyard. It's so simple. It's so corny. It's so boring. You know, I go to the backyard. I lift up my arms and I say, I say my faith declarations. It's so simple. Whether iniiba iba ko para you know, fresh. I say things like one of our prayers that we say at the feast. It's actually our feast prayer, quote unquote. You know, today I receive all of God's love for me, and then I pause and I just breathe in the love of God, you know, and I allow His love to embrace me. So that's how I begin my morning. I say faith declarations like I put my hands over my chest and I say, I'm totally, completely, and perfectly loved. And then I say it over and over again, like a mantra. And then I read scripture, and then I listen either to an inspirational talk or something. And then I do my exercise. While exercising, I'm listening to something inspiring, something that will feed my spirit, but also something that will feed my mind. So sometimes that's why I love walking. I love walking because there I listen to all sorts of people, whether it be business, entrepreneurship, marketing, social media marketing. And I love listening to tech. You know, this is crazy, but I love listening to what's the next thing, what will be the future that's happening now, and so I listen to AI, I listen to blockchain and whatever, so just filling my mind with stuff that things I don't understand. By the way, you know, don't let me explain those things, but I just love listening, and then. So there, I think if you're right, I love listening and learning because that's who we are. That both of us are like that. So
exactly, yeah. Brother Bo, just for those who also want to be inspired and see who's inspiring you right now, who are the people that you've been listening to, both from an inspirational standpoint and from a business inspirational standpoint? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah. Yeah, so when it comes to the spiritual side of things, I've got also some mentors who guide me, you know. So I've got priests from Father Steve Tynan to Father Bob McConaughey, Father Michael LaGuardia. You know, these are guys that you know, they pray for me, and so I'm very blessed by that.
Yeah, they're all the people giving the commentary in the
not the didake. Yeah, companion. Yeah. That's right,
companion. And Brother Bo, can I just say something very briefly? I've been in mind.
Yeah,
one of the priests there's actually my first cousin, Father Mark Lopez. He's a Jesuit priest, and he was one of the contributors. So we were so proud when I opened up. Oh, it's Father Mark, and he's one of the priests contributing here. So nice to read his prayers every time I see
it. Oh yes. And then I've got a pastor. He's not Catholic. His name is Joey Bonifacio. Mm-hmm. And for years, you know, I would consult him. He would give me his wisdom. He is such a great mentor to me. So even if he's not Catholic, and he accepts me and loves me as someone who's not Catholic. So who is Catholic. So I love it. I love the ecumenism that's there. So, but in terms of like authors, there's a lot, and who would stand out? Who would stand out as an author?
Father James Martin, Bishop
Burrell. Father James Martin, and but you've got. Let me see. I've, gosh,
The part, there's so many to download.
yeah, you've got, who's this other guy? The name slips my mind because I recently been listening to him. Oh gosh. In terms of business, you know, you like social media. Of course, it would be Gary Vaynerchuk if you stumbled upon him. So even if he curses, he's okay. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to marketing. So there. You know what? Come to think of it, RJ, I really learn more. Like, I read a lot and all of that, and I listen to podcasts, but I learn more from the interaction with real live mentors who... So my business mentors, as I said, you've got Edward Lee, you've got Dean Pax, you've got Rex Mendoza. I learned so much from these guys, like talking to them and asking them questions. So I guess that would be my answer. But yes, I do listen to podcasts. I do listen to, I read those business books. But yeah, it's I'm blessed. You've got all these guys, friends now that I consult with.
And having said that, Brother Bo, maybe let's invite people one more time. I mean, to the Truly Rich Club, I'd love to invite them one more time. Maybe you can invite people listening here right now. And if you can flash, let's flash one more time the invitation to how you can get a promo for the Truly Rich Club.
Yep, you can just go to that link, and I will encourage you to be serious. Be serious about your financial dreams. Like, you know, you can, if my helpers were able to do it, and our hundreds of employees are now investing in the stock market. We can teach you how to do it. But it's, you know, by the way, the Truly Rich Club is not just about the stock market. We've got a lot of members who made a decision. You know, we like staying in the club, not because of the stock market investment, but because of the other things. We give teachings on entrepreneurship. We give wisdom on actually how to be a good employee, you know, being a great employee and still serve the Lord and still love God. So we've got all these unique things. This is very unique in the Truly Rich Club. We also give people the opportunity to earn money in the Truly Rich Club. But this is totally optional, only if you want. There are people who made a decision, okay, I'm going to invite people to the club. And when you do, we actually give you 20% of the membership fee for as long as that person is a member. That's yours. Why? Why did we set it up that way? Because I want to help you learn entrepreneurship, learn how to sell, learn how to do marketing, you know, and be able to be rewarded by it. So there are people, we've got members who earn 2,000 pesos extra a month and they're happy. Some people are more serious with this and they earn 10,000 pesos a month or even 20,000 pesos a month and they're happy. It really depends. It's all up to you. We just leave it to the member and say, you know, the club is so multidimensional that you use it the way you need it. You know, some people join because it's of the spiritual stuff that we give them and they're so happy. They've been with us for years. Some people, they're there in the club because they get guided on how to invest in the market. And so every month they look forward to, you know, our instruction on what stocks to buy, what stocks to sell. And they've really grown their money. Some people, they stay in the club because of our entrepreneurship lessons. And so they have an extra income. They invite their friends there and they gain extra income every single month and they're happy. So you use the club the way you want to use it. And so please come and join us. I want to see you inside the club. And let's have fun. Let's grow together.
The promo code is over there if you want to join. Last yep. question, Brother Bo. Like you said, there's a lot of lessons on entrepreneurship in the Truly Rich Club. And I'm sure that they've been sharing with you emerging opportunities. And sometimes the greatest entrepreneurs find the best opportunities during times of crisis or during times of the pandemic. What are you seeing as the emerging opportunities during this new normal and what could be the next normal? What's been coming out for you?
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning and we had a good conversation. You know what he told me? 2020 was his best year ever financially. Wow. And so, you know, I would bump into people like that, RJ. It's like, and you know what they tell me? Nakakahiya i-share. Sa'yo i-share ko. No? Pero ang hirap i-share because a lot of people were suffering. And the reason why they grew, they prospered was alam ko pagod na tayo sa word na pivot, no? O sige, palitan na natin, change. But, you know, they adjusted. They basically said, I will change, you know? If I keep on doing the same thing, talagang I will lose money and, you know, my business will, but you've got to say, okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to do something. And so I'm going to challenge people. There are so many opportunities out there because of the crisis, not in spite of it, but because there's a crisis, you have to find the opportunity. New problems came up because of the crisis. So what are those problems? And look for it. I will recommend, you know what my friend told me this morning, the one who said, you know, 2020 was my best year. You know what he's going to do now, RJ? He'll go global with his business. Wow. Why? Because it's so easy now to go global.
That's right.
And I will recommend look for opportunities online because let's face it, this is the future. This is the now and it will even be more widespread. This year, next year, 10 years from now, you've gotta go online. You've gotta find a way to give your gift to the world and be able to monetize it online. Being able to find a way to look for what is analog today and transform it to make it online. Again, you'll make a few mistakes. You'll have to learn a lot, but that will be my recommendation.
Wow, fantastic. Now, that was truly words of wisdom. For me, that's truly rich insight coming from you, Brother Bo. Thank you so much for guesting here on the show. You know, this is an unusual request for me, and I've never asked it from any of the guests, but I always feel blessed after hearing you pray in full tank. And whenever you say, I pray for my friend here, I'm feeling that I am the friend that you're talking about. I'm sure thousands of people feel that you are the friend that they're praying about. Can you help us end today and end this podcast with a prayer for all of us, if you don't
mind?
Sure,
sure. Love it. I'd love to. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for everyone praying with me at this time. You know them. You know what they're going through. You know their difficulties. You know their background. You know their backstory. You know the burdens in their hearts. You know, and you don't only know, you feel that burden that they carry. And so I pray that you reach out to them right now, wherever they are, and you lift them up, Lord. Lift them up. Thank you, Father God, that you are easing the burden. You're carrying that burden with them. And I pray that you be their provider. I pray that you be their healer. I pray that you be their leader, their wisdom giver. I pray, Lord, that you be now their peace in the midst of the troubles they're going through. I pray that you be their joy in the midst of the sorrows that they're going through. And I pray that you be their unconditional love right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like the applause that you give after you pray. So I'm going to applaud you. Brother Bo, this was truly a pleasure having you here on the show. And again, you know, I don't wish to gush, but I'm such a big fan of yours, even if, you know, we speak together at all these occasions. And the organization, your organizations have truly helped uplift my own life and, you know, directed me towards the correct purpose. I think that's the more important thing, that, you know, we're able to give back to God our gifts. And thank you so much for helping me give back also in my own little way. So again, thank you so much for guesting here on the show. And again, for everybody who listened, thank you so much. I hope you guys learned a lot. Again, this was the RJ Ledesma podcast. You can catch us, of course, on Spotify, on our Apple Podcast here as well. And remember, we're out every Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. You can catch us also live on Kumu, CBRC TV, and Global Pinas. Thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you again next week.
The
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.